Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to read a word list to me.
2 years ago, I could never imagine myself wanting to take a test.
Today I'm doing an assessment with Ms. Ba. She's trying to test out my level of reading, and I just hope it's at least a 10th grade and not like 7th or 6th, because I'm going to be real mad.
17-year-old Brooklyn resident Keith Harris there, one of this fall's Radio Rookies reporters. Radio Rookies is WNYC's program to put microphones in the hands of local teenagers and let them tell their story in their own words. Now, Keith's piece, which maybe you heard yesterday on Morning Edition, chronicles his struggles with literacy. He got all the way to 9th grade without knowing how to read. But in the last few years, he has turned things around, and he's back on track to graduate, we're happy to say. So joining us to discuss the questions of literacy brought up by Keith's story are Erin Bauer, Keith's reading teacher at the High School for Global Citizenship in Brooklyn. She's one of the stars of the piece. And Dolores Perrin, Associate Professor of Psychology and Education at the Columbia University Teachers College. She knows the ins and outs of what programs work best to get young readers up to speed. So, Dolores, Erin, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
And let's actually start with another clip from the piece. Here again is Keith talking about his struggle with reading.
My number one rule, never ever read out loud.
What is King Alfonso writing about?
I don't know.
When it was close to my turn, I would always ask to go to the bathroom. When I tried to read, the page looked like a forest with no single tree. Everything was just a blur. And my handwriting, oh my God, it was scrappy and nappy, like barbed wire. I hated it.
Write one more paragraph.
All I wanted to do and all I did was play basketball. And believe it or not, it was basketball that got me to start paying attention in school.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about just in that clip there. And Erin Bauer, Keith's reading teacher at the High School for Global Citizenship in Brooklyn, how easy is it to slip through the cracks like he did to get to 9th grade with no one finding out that you can't read? Was Keith unique or unusual in your experience?
Unfortunately, a lot of our students slip through the crack in the New York City public school system. Some students who come from other countries had interrupted schooling, or they actually didn't attend school in their home countries because they were working. Other students did attend schools, and unfortunately, because of overcrowding and social promotion and other issues, they do get to 9th grade, and they are really struggling to read their low skill level, or some of our students, like Keith, can barely read at all.
And Dolores Perrin from the Columbia University Teachers College, how typical is Keith's approach to his problem as articulated there? This whole thing about never read out loud, go to the bathroom when it's my turn. Are those signs or typical strategies of avoidance?
I think so, and I think there are very intelligent responses by an obviously very intelligent person. I've seen this many times, and unfortunately I've seen this a lot in adult literacy programs as well, where there's just so much embarrassment and, you know, people would do anything not to reveal the scope of their problem. Sometimes they don't even tell their girlfriends or boyfriends what the actual situation is. So, yes, I think it is pretty common.
Yeah, there's a lot of embarrassment in Keith's story, which is an impediment. But let's listen to another clip, which is when Keith does finally ask for help.
I could not keep my secret anymore.
Hi, Ms. Gagwan.
Ms. Gagwan was the first person I told I couldn't read.
I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't want you to be embarrassed. So I was like, okay, give him a comic book, and he can tell the story through the pictures. But that still must have been frustrating for you, because you couldn't read the words. You must have just been like, this woman is crazy. What is like, I just told this woman I can't read, and she handed me a comic book.
So, Erin Bauer, it sounds like Ms. Kelterborn didn't exactly know how to handle the situation, but she did do a seemingly smart thing in handing Keith a comic book.
Right.
That was a good response?
In some ways it was. One of the entry points with struggling readers is definitely to try to connect them with something they're interested in. And so depending on their ages, you can do that with picture books or comic books or other texts. When Keith initially started in my class 3 years ago, I was trying to find him texts related to basketball because I knew that he was a very skilled basketball player and that he loves the sport. But he ended up reading a novel within a fairly short period of time.
And Professor Perrin from Columbia Teachers College, what kind of training do you give teachers like Ms. Kelterborn or Aaron or anyone else for when a student asks for this kind of help, especially at the high school level?
Well, I think the most important thing is that a teacher really understand the reading process, you know, everything from soup to nuts, which would mean everything that goes into knowing what the words are on the page, all the way up to the more sophisticated reading comprehension processes. Each one of those areas is incredibly complicated, but now I think, you know, we're lucky because there's more and more research available that reveals useful processes that teachers can use. And I think, you know, familiarizing teachers with available strategies and helping them to connect those strategies to what the students are interested in, as in, you know, basketball or, you know, some of the other interests that students have, and then connecting those to the subject matter that students have to learn in class.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls. If anyone has ever had this experience yourself, getting as old as the teenage years and realizing that you cannot read, or because you were an immigrant and, you know, late to English, relatively having to do this kind of thing in high school or even in community colleges. I know, Doris, you deal with people in community colleges sometimes,
mm-hmm.
Or anybody else in education. 212-433-WNYC. These issues stemming from our Radio Rookies piece here on WNYC. And Dolores, is learning to read at age 13 or 14 a different process than when you're 3 or 4 or 6 or 7? You would have to think that developmentally kids are in a very different place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the answer to that is really yes and no, because in a way, reading is reading. We all have to read the words on the page and understand them and incorporate them into what we already know. But, you know, when you're dealing with adolescents or adults, it's a different emotional situation. If somebody has had an experience of failing repeatedly or never even having been exposed to much schooling, and suddenly being in a situation where, you know, everyone else can do things much better, it's just, you know, as we said before, very embarrassing and unfortunate. And so all that emotional overlay kind of gets factored in, and it's really important. Even, I mean, we need to work with every student at any age group as a human being with feelings. But, you know, as kids get older, it's, you know, history kind of brings its own baggage. And so, you know, being very kind and nice and, you know, helpful gets to be more and more important.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes kids can read the words, but they don't comprehend the meaning. Keith said in the piece, the page looked like a forest with no single tree. Susan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I'm so glad you're addressing the subject. So glad Keith came forward. I have two dyslexic sons, and my experience navigating the system for them prompted me to form the Right to Read Project. And I have been at such pains with the Department of Education to address this issue and to understand that the numbers are huge. It's 4 out of 10 children have trouble learning to read. And that's independent of whether they're English language learners or immigrants or any of the other issues that have been described. It's a question of the neural pathways, and that they need different types of reading instruction,
right,
from what's being given.
Well, it's different things for different people, Aaron, I would assume, right? Some maybe have a neural pathways problem, like Susan is talking about with dyslexic kids. Others just were never really taught. Others are changing languages by dint of immigration. So are there different kinds of programs in your high school?
There are, actually. We've been fortunate enough to bring in quite a few programs. I was lucky enough to be trained through a literacy program my first year of teaching, which gave me a lot of strategies initially to help my struggling readers. Most recently, we've also brought in the Read 180 program, and that's for really beginning readers. My literacy class is more for kids who are on a fourth to eighth grade reading level. The Scholastic Read 180 program is really targeting our brand new readers and those who are reading up to about a third grade level.
Polly in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Polly.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Big fan.
Thank you.
I taught literacy as a volunteer in Brooklyn for about a year, a decade ago. It was an adult literacy class, and the students were very smart, very dedicated, really hardworking, and yet over the course of the year, we made very little progress. Very few people actually improved significantly in their reading and writing, and I wondered whether it's easier when you're younger. Is there something about the brain that, you know, that it's easier to learn to read and write?
Dolores Perrin, is that lack of progress in older learners common?
Unfortunately, it's common, but I would never give up on a student, and they can always learn, they can always improve. I think, you know, there are going to be multiple reasons for lack of improvement. One of them is, you know, matching the right strategy to the student. And, you know, understanding what they need and providing very explicit instruction to help them move up, a level in their reading. But sometimes it's not very clear what the student needs. And so I think sometimes more focused assessment is needed and then matching the, you know, appropriate strategies to what they actually need.
And I want to play another clip from the Radio Rookies piece related to this. And, Polly, I'm really glad you brought it up, because here is Keith talking about how quickly, in his case, he did learn or relearn to read. This starts with his guidance counselor, Ms. Hughes.
When you started here in ninth grade with Ms. Kelterborn, you had failed both English classes. And now you're scoring 80s in English?
At the end of my junior year, my guidance counselor, Ms. Hughes, told me I'm on track to graduate as long as I pass the state test.
The fact that you haven't given up, but rather you've used your frustration as power, impresses me like you can't imagine.
Yes, I can't believe it myself. I learned to read so fast.
A happy ending in the Radio Rookies piece, we're happy to say. And Dolores Perrin from Teachers College, the bulk of your research is actually done with community colleges. So how pervasive a problem is illiteracy even at the college level?
Well, you know, I'd really rather not be pessimistic, but 2/3 of recent high school graduates in New York City who go on to enroll in the city university system need reading, writing, or math remediation. It's 2/3 of people who made it through 12th grade.
I thought they were sort of cracking down on that kind of thing.
Well, in
trying to give it back to the K-12 system.
Well, they're trying, but you know, the problem is that there are reading problems.
How much of that is just simply the result, again, of immigration and English language reading being a relatively new thing to kids who are starting relatively late in life, and how much of it is failure of the system to teach kids to read from a young age?
Well, the statistics indicate that this, you know, these statistics are mostly with monolingual speakers of English.
Uh-huh.
They're, remediation and English as a second language instruction are usually separated in the statistics. And, you know, the national statistics are very similar, that maybe up to 75% of high school graduates across the country do not read at college level.
Why,
when they graduate.
Why, Dolores? Why?
Do you have an hour? there are many reasons. Everything spanning large classrooms, teachers who are not familiar with the most appropriate reading techniques, student motivation, home situations, poverty, nutritional problems, you name it. Everything factors into reading. You know, reading is
the, you know, a human achievement that's the result of many, many factors.
So, Aaron Bauer, what would you change if you could change something about any of those things on the way up to you? You know, so not so many kids have to reach you at the high school level at this remedial stage.
Pointed to some really important issues. When we're talking about social issues, structural violence, health issues, I mean, we really have to take a step back from school and look at our society. And so a lot of our students who struggle most are facing a lot of obstacles in their lives that can actually impact how often they attend school and how they perform in school. And so we really need to look at the communities that they're in and what resources they're lacking. And that's part of the problem. In terms of the school system, I think we definitely need smaller classes. One of the reasons I've had success with my literacy students is because we do have a small class, so I'm able to work with them much more closely than I would in a regular classroom.
And that has to be the last word from Aaron Bauer, Keith Harris's reading teacher at the High School for Global Citizenship in Brooklyn, and Dolores Perrin from Columbia University's Teachers College. Thank you both very much for coming on with us and talking about these issues. And everybody, you can hear the original piece with 17-year-old Keith Harris of Brooklyn, part of the Radio Rookie series. You can get to the piece right on our homepage at WNYC.org.